Hello, everyone, and welcome to Dream Leapers Inspiration. I'm your host, Harriet Cole. As always, honored to take this pause with you on this day as we begin our week. Now, I was thinking about how Dream Leapers Inspiration started, and it seems like a million years ago. Like that, as you see at the beginning of this broadcast, it says, take a pause. Let's take a pause together. And I started this pause where we could connect to each other in April of 2020. That was a couple of weeks into the pandemic when everybody was sent home, told to shut your door, lock your door, do not go out unless you have to. And I remember feeling this sense of isolation and just, you know, on the one hand, people like the idea of being at home, but being forced to be at home and being told that it was unsafe to be with other people was frightening to the core. And as we all remember, many people perished during the pandemic, that invisible germ that traveled all over the world and through our communities and our families and was so incredibly devastating. And it was real, even though it was invisible. And I felt an incredible need to connect to people in some kind of a way. And so I turned on my computer. I was already doing Dream Leapers. Dream Leapers was primarily educational at the time. I was doing a lot of coaching work with people to help them to leap into their dreams, and which I still do. And it just felt like we needed a burst of inspiration. And this is how this was born. And in the beginning, for those of you who were with me in the beginning, we did it every day. The first couple of weeks, we did it 7 days a week. And then I realized that was just too much. Then it was 5 days a week and for probably a long time. It could have even been the first year. I can't remember because time is such a blur. And then we got to the rhythm of once a week, which felt like something that we could manage. And so I'm just remembering that because we count time differently now. And now time is measured in some instances based on pre-COVID, pre-pandemic, post-pandemic. You know, there's a space of 4 years that's kind of a blur. What happened? When did things happen in our lives? And we often are measuring it based upon a pre and post pandemic yardstick. So one of the things that I recall noting during those dark ages was we got real serious about a lot of things. Some of them were good, some of them were not. And I was contemplating that yesterday over the weekend. And I was also, you know, I'm famous for making my list of things to do. And sometimes I make a list of grievances. I have to admit it. Sometimes I do that. You know, I'm always looking to be positive. Sometimes I make a list of these are the things that are bothering me. I need to address these things. I need to address them with someone. You know, if I have a list of grievances with someone, then I need to go through all these things. Do you all ever do that? You have your list of this is not working and that is not working. I don't like this. And well, I have lists like that. I don't often pay attention to them because I choose the positive. I work really hard to choose the positive, but sometimes the list becomes bold-faced and I'm paying attention to it. And that happened this weekend. And so I don't know if this happens to you, but when you start with a list of grievances and you go, and then there was this, and then there was this, and then there was this, that list can grow long and rigid. And you can get stuck in whatever the things are that are on the list and feel self-righteous about what's on the list. And, you know, you are right and whoever else is in that scenario is wrong. And you have every right to amplify whatever the topic is, whatever the grievance is. And as you do that, it grows. That's why I called it boldface, because it grows. Generally speaking, at least in my experience and in talking to many, many, many people, this does not usually pay off. When you start with your list of grievances and you pile on, it often acts like lighter fluid. You know, you're building a fire and the fire grows and grows and grows and gets bigger and bigger and bigger and then out of control. Has that ever happened for you? Like you have this one thing. And by the way, I'm not saying that you should squash your grievances and not address things that are problems. We need to do that. It is not a good thing to just let everything go and not deal with whatever your issues are. That is not what I'm saying. But I am saying if you take yourself too seriously and you allow all these things to build up, pile up, and then you start pointing that finger, it usually does not fare anyone well. Take it from me. I know it usually causes an argument or some kind of incendiary situation that can get out of control quickly. So, what can you do about it? I was thinking about people who handle conflict well. And if you look through history, people handle conflict well and people who, in couples who stay together for the longest. Comedians. look, go do some research and look into long-term marriages and relationships. Many of the people, and you know, in the world of people that we know, boldface names, are in the world of comedy. They take things lightly. They don't take it too seriously. They find humor in whatever's going on in their lives. And one of those people who I just thought was one of the greatest people because she was always finding some joy in things was Betty White. And I found a quote from her that I'd like for us to take a look at. You know, I love using quotes in inspiration to just get us going. Here's her quote. She says, "It's your outlook on life that counts. If you take yourself lightly and don't take yourself too seriously, pretty soon you can find the humor in our everyday lives. And sometimes it can be a lifesaver." So there's a lot in there. Let's look at it. It's your outlook on life that counts. We know this. We explore this every week on Inspiration. How we see the world makes all the difference in how we live in the world. It's your outlook on life that counts. If you take yourself lightly and don't take yourself too seriously, pretty soon, you can find the humor in our everyday lives. And sometimes it can be a lifesaver. So how is that possible? You know, if something's bothering you. Something is just not good. And how do you find humor in that? You know, how do you find humor in that? You may not in the moment. And she says, pretty soon you can find the humor in our everyday lives. She's not saying instantly. She's just saying, you know, you look at it more lightly, less seriously than you might. You don't automatically laugh, find joy, find relief. No. But if you stay stuck and, you know, you have to hold your ground, you have to prove a point, you are right. They are wrong. You put yourself in a combative situation. Shut your brain down on finding any common ground in a situation. Usually, that doesn't fare well. You push somebody's up against the wall. You know, like you holding people accountable, I think, is good. Holding them emotionally hostage is dangerous. Confronting people in a way where they cannot get out of a situation is dangerous. And a lot of times we feel like we can do that. Now, I don't know whether in the moment when you're feeling all that incredible energy toward a person or a situation, negative energy, I don't know how in that exact moment you can find humor. But I do think that eventually, that, you know, pretty soon you can find the humor, rather than taking it so seriously. So I want to give you a couple of examples of things that I recall. That, you know, one, I'm going to say, very, very serious situation when I was in college. And this is a, like, don't do what I did situation. I was in college. I was dating a guy who I thought was my guy, you know. And as is too often the case, yeah, well, I thought he was my guy. I know a couple other people who thought he was their guy too, because he was a liar. And I discovered it. And rather than just laughing, well, okay, this is over, goodbye, I confronted him. I confronted him. I was screaming at him, you know, how dare you, blah, 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 in a small space. I would not let him back down. I would not let him lie one more time. I confronted him and he exploded, retaliated, and physically hurt me. And I couldn't get out. I put myself in that situation. He did not. I confronted him. I went to him to confront him. And I want to tell every one of you out there, even if you feel that you are justified in confronting people, know that it can be dangerous, because it was for me. And I'm the one who put myself in that situation, and I have to take responsibility for that. Could I have laughed it off? It's a hard thing to imagine, but it was pretty comical that this dude thought that he could get away with this. You know, now, many, many, many years later, I realized if I had looked through different lenses, you know, I was young, didn't know much at all about relationships. But if I looked through a different lens, really, of holding myself in higher esteem, because you know what happens? You shrink and you feel like, well, there's something wrong with me. What did I do? And in this case, I didn't do anything. He was just a cheater. And I could have walked away. I didn't. I want to tell you, walking away is much better, much safer than confronting someone where they can't get out. You need to give people an out, or you're creating a space that isn't safe for you. I was taking myself so seriously there. And I was self-righteous and, you know, who do you think you are? You can have those feelings, but make sure that you create safety for yourself. Don't walk into the fire when there's no way to get out of the fire. And when I think about this notion that Betty White had of not taking yourself so seriously, you know, how could I have looked at that differently? It's your outlook on life that counts. It's what she's saying here. My outlook was kind of desperate, you know, like, how could you not love me? It was not that, but that's how I felt. My outlook was, I shrank. I did not take myself lightly. I took myself very seriously. And there was no humor. There was just tremendous melancholy. I bet some of you have had situations like that. It may not have been an abusive relationship, but whatever it may have been, you got to get unstuck and change your outlook. And that's what Betty, change your outlook is what counts. If you are able to, you know, pray for, search for, get help to find the good in you in any situation, even when something bad is happening around you, it's going to make all the difference in the world. And so that was a really extreme example, but there's so many other examples. When someone cuts you off when you're driving, and you are mad, you know, road rage is real. Stop being mad. Stop being mad. Just imagine maybe you are having a better day than that person. Maybe something happened in that person's life that made this an agitated moment. You don't have to pull your energy into it. You can just bless them and keep moving. If you were the one having a road rage, you know, take a deep breath and say, okay, I don't have to be stuck in this. I can change my outlook. I can laugh at myself. You know, I put myself on the road at this time, on this road at this time, and now I'm stuck. If there's nothing you can do about it, just take a deep breath and sigh and allow yourself to find space of peace in that moment, right? If you have friction with someone at work, don't add fuel to the fire. Walk away. Figure out another approach. Change your outlook. Figure out some kind of a way to be a little lighter in that scenario than you want to be. You could make that list. Explain all the things that so-and-so did wrong, but what is that going to gain you? What if you changed your outlook? What's the one good thing? What's the one good thing about that person, about that situation? What is something you can salvage? What is something that can help you grow? You know, in that horrible situation with me, what did help is that was the end point. There was no more turning back. And even though it was terrible, I could say, thank you for making it clear to me that this is over. So even in a horrible situation like that one, you can have that mindset shift. Similarly, if it is with a partner and you feel like the friction is just so great, you don't know how you can get past it. Take a breath. Decide that you're going to look at this differently. Decide that there is a way to either engage with that person differently or disengage rather than fuel the fire. Do you see that? Those are different things. You fuel the fire by just fighting and pointing fingers and digging your heels in. And usually nothing comes of that except for more fire. So a different approach is needed, or else you're just going to be in the same situation over and over and over again and wonder, why am I still here? I'm a smart person. How did I end up in the same place? Has that ever happened to you where you go, I thought I was smart. They tell me I'm smart. I think I'm smart. I'm not smart right here. That definition of insanity, you keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Do you do that? And if you do, what is the outlook change that you need to make in order to have a shift? So that you take yourself lightly You look at the situation a little lighter. What can you see? What can you see differently about the situation when you're not hunkered down, brittle with whatever beliefs you have about how things are supposed to be? It is not easy. It's not easy to look at yourself differently, to look at situations differently. But when you do, you can see something new. So imagine if you look for the goodness in a situation where you don't see any. And you don't even want to see it because you just want to be mad. You want to be self-righteous. You find yourself in that swirl. When you find that, that's exactly the time to pause. Say, ooh, I'm feeling it. I feel the energy of that. I feel my chest tightening. I feel my breathing getting shallow. I feel like I'm stuck. So you change the prescription of your glasses. Look differently at this situation. What can I think differently? What can I do differently? How can I approach this exact situation differently? Is there anything at all positive that I can find in this situation? Now, I've talked about this before. Even when the requirement for you is to walk away from a situation, you don't want to burn the whole situation up on the way out. You don't want to create what I call roadkill. You don't want to annihilate another person because you're mad or hurt. You don't want to scorch the earth, say things that could be so incisive and possibly cruel, even if they're true, because you're mad or hurt. You don't want to do that. Even if you think you do, trust me, you don't. You don't want to leave people on the side of the road broken and unable to pick themselves up and move forward because you feel the burden of that. So what is the positive that you can find to move forward? What is the positive you can leave with whoever it is that you might need to extricate yourself? What could you leave them with? What could you give to them that serves as a balm, that serves as a salve, as healing, so that you aren't brittle? There's a softness around the situation. There's a lightness that helps to uplift you and the others. Think of that. You know, if in a work situation where you just don't get along with someone and you have to work with them, and you're thinking about reporting them because they are just making it so difficult for you. It's not that there aren't times to report people, but before you do that, before you go pointing your finger and saying, that person, this is what I have to say about that person, before you do that, what can you do differently? How can you change your outlook about that person, about the way that you work together? How can you look at that person with softer, more compassionate eyes? Is there a reason that is not working? Is there something that person is unable to do and they're masking it with bravado, but really they don't know how to do it? Are there skills that you can offer to this particular scenario that will make it better? Is there a way that you can offer those skills so that it doesn't feel threatening? How can you approach the situation differently so that you aren't the one with all the bravado? You aren't the one taking yourself so seriously. You know, I'm the only one who can blah, 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 blah. What if you approach the situation differently? What if you stand down, take a breath, and look to see how you can solve whatever the problem is rather than add to it? What if you can stop pointing the finger, put the hand down, turn the finger around, and ask yourself, what did you do to contribute to getting into this situation in the first place? And what can you do to get yourself out? What if you stop taking yourself so seriously? What does Betty White say? It's your outlook on life that counts. What is your outlook? How do you look at your life? When you wake up in the morning, what is the intention that you set for your day? What is your outlook for today, right now? Did you even think about it? How do you intend to interact with other people today? Are you holding on to a grudge that you had yesterday, over the weekend, from 10 years back, whatever it is? I remember when you did so and so and so to me. So when I see you, I see that. Are you doing that? Are you holding on to a grudge that you bring forward? That clouds your vision so that when you see a person, you hear a person's voice. That pops up on top of whatever it is that you see right in front of your face. If that happens, can you let that go? Can you choose to be in the moment and see a person, a situation for what it is now? And not the pileup of all the things that happen over time? Can you do that? Guess what? You can do it. It's changing your outlook. Betty White says, it's your outlook on life that counts. If you take yourself lightly and don't take yourself too seriously, pretty soon you can find the humor in our everyday lives. And sometimes it can be a lifesaver. It's true. Sometimes when you're too heavy, too serious, you walk right into a situation and get trapped. That's what happened to me. Instead, if you step back, and even if it's just self-preservation that has you do it, and you look and go, how in the world did this happen? And laugh. Allow yourself to laugh at some of the ridiculous things that happened in your life. Allow yourself to forgive yourself by laughing. You know, there's an exercise that I teach many of my public speaking students. If you have you clutter your language with you know what I'm saying, any of those things, I teach people to have a buddy, a partner who can work with you on this. And every time you do whatever that thing is, so if you say or like, you know, people do that a lot. You may be one of those people. Every time you say it, this is a 7-day exercise. On day one, every time you say it, tap your nose and laugh. And if you have an accountability partner, it helps, because half the time you don't even hear yourself doing it. So you're talking, then you say like, I want you to laugh, because you're laughing at yourself in lightness. Otherwise, you will probably get embarrassed. Whatever your little verbal tick is, people do these things so often that you go, oh my God, I can't believe I did it again. Well, if you laugh, I did it again, then you're not judging yourself. You're noticing, I really do this thing too much. Day two, you still tap when you hear it, but you're now inviting your brain to pause. And instead of saying that, to take a breath. And so you get a little stuttery because you're holding on. You're trying to not use whatever that word is. You're figuring out how to replace it with a breath. Over the course of a week, it becomes a lot easier for you to not say whatever that thing is and to smooth out your language. But along the way, you laugh at yourself in love. You laugh at yourself. Oh, I can't believe I did that again. Oh, okay. That lightness helps you to change your behavior. It's a wonderful thing to do because you're giving yourself grace. So that's with language. Imagine if you had that lightness, that giving yourself grace, giving others grace for being imperfect, for making mistakes, for not following whatever the plan was that you had made in the first place, for being hurt, for hurting someone else. Give yourself grace, laugh at yourself, and work to make yourself better. Laugh, laugh. and work to make yourself better. It's a tender way to care for yourself. It's what Betty White's talking about, changing your outlook. It is your outlook on life that counts. I want you to try this. Laugh at yourself. Make it better. Give yourself grace to improve. Give other people grace so that they can improve. It works. Don't take yourself too seriously. Don't take others too seriously. Instead, give yourself and others grace. It works. Until next time, have a great day and make it count. Namaste.